Well, good morning, Light of Life. I was really looking forward to being with you in person, but what a blessing it is that we can still connect through technology. And I do hope and pray that your loved ones and you are well at this time. I wanted for us this morning to look at a few verses from Isaiah and chapter 40, and I'm going to read those to you, starting at verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What are you waiting for? Waiting, I wonder, for the shops to have bread, flour and eggs in? Waiting to open the mail that you've been leaving untouched for 24 hours? Waiting to hug your loved ones? Waiting to return to work and to be able to have those normal face-to-face conversations with colleagues? Waiting for the children to go back to school? Waiting to go to work without fear of contracting COVID-19? Maybe you're waiting for a PPE delivery or for your wages. Or for waiting for the world to return to normal, whatever that new normal might be. These are contrasting times, and when lockdown hit, many activists I know enjoyed the challenge of learning new things and relished the opportunity to support others with enthusiasm. Yet others found themselves at the opposite end of the scale, the rug pulled from beneath them with a sudden drop in activity, with a void of nothingness, yet may be pleased for a change in pace. Like many of us, I'm good at doing, but I'm not so good at being and waiting. I bought a hob kettle a few years ago for the specific purpose to stop whilst it boiled, to focus my thoughts on God. I'm never far from a cup of tea or coffee, so this gave me a good few minutes on a number of opportunities at different intervals during the day to wait on God. Great plan, you might think, but the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. What actually happened was that I got so restless whilst waiting for the kettle to boil that I'd nip off to do something around the house, hear the kettle shrieking, run back to turn it off and return to finish whatever job I'd started without either the cup of tea or the blessing of waiting for it. And if I'm entirely honest, that cycle on occasions has happened more than once consecutively. I'm pleased to say that I'm now slightly better. I have a prayer on the fridge, which at least I try to say whilst I'm waiting. That's just reminded me I forgot the last drink I made. Isaiah chapter 40 was written at a time when God's exiled people have been told that the restoration is at hand. They will be able to return to Jerusalem. The Persian king decreed that the people could return to their homeland, but it was not that straightforward. Some remained and some trickled back, and there were many difficulties along the way. Returning to normal is not straightforward, as well we know, and yet the writer of Isaiah 40 has used this period of time to learn something new of God. The NRSV, which I read from, reads in verse 31, "Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength." The Message paraphrase also uses the word wait. But those who wait upon God get fresh strength. Wait's a neutral word. Wait for what? Wait how? Why wait? Couldn't God simply just give us his strength? Why do we have to wait for it? Why do we have to wait for it? I wonder if in the waiting we're in no doubt that the strength comes from God. Otherwise there may be the potential to think that we didn't need to ask him. We had the strength ourselves to do whatever it is. In waiting, we recognise our own weaknesses and limitations and more fully appreciate the gift that we are given. Waiting on God implies trust, it implies hope. In fact, both these words are used instead of the word wait. In the New Living Translation, verse 31 reads, "But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength." And in the NIV, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength." The words trust and hope, quite frankly, sound easier to me. Both convey a sense that something is happening, that God is working behind the scenes, even if it's not visible or audible or comprehensible. But waiting takes time. Waiting is difficult. Who likes to wait? I know it's not just me who's impatient. Julian of Norwich lived during the Hundred Years' War, a particularly harsh period in English history. It was a time of suffering, acute poverty, famine and death, added by outbreaks of the Black Death from which the Peasants' Revolt emerged in 1369. Julian became an anchoress, similar to a hermit, except she deliberately chose to withdraw from the world, confining herself to a space in order to spend time in prayer. We've not chosen to confine ourselves to a space, but we are all experiencing restrictions, both physical and otherwise, at this time. The point of Julian imposing a restriction in space on herself was paradoxically to have space, to enter into a deeper understanding of Jesus and a longing for God. She struggled with the terrible issues of pain and suffering in her world, yet emerged from her lockdown with love and sympathy and great joy, and in fact longing to see people released into the joy of God. You may know the words she famously said, "All shall be well, all manner of things shall be well." Learning to wait on God is a choice. We have little say in the lockdown, there is so much we can't choose to do, but we can choose to wait on God. The first few weeks I found overwhelming. There was such a barrage of things to watch. They were all good, and the free sharing of resources has been a blessing, to be sure, but I found myself busier than ever. It took a while for me to actually slow and decide I was going to use this time to wait. I'm not going to answer the question that is starting to bubble up about what God might be saying to us through all this. I think these things will become evident in the fullness of time. For now, for me, and I think for many of us, this is a time to be, a time to wait on God. Maybe we could just, for this week or this month or this season, choose to wait, to use this time as a gift, to read through a gospel, to stop whilst the kettle is boiling, and to look up at the sky, the birds, the trees, to ponder. Not trying to work things out, but to allow God's presence to fill us, allow his spirit to flow through us, to empower us and give us his strength. Again and again in scripture, God comes alongside the weak and vulnerable, those who know their need of him, those who are at the end of their rope, those who don't have the answers, are confused, tired and worn down. Samuels writes, "That handing over of control, that letting go of one's ultimate destiny is a central part of wisdom. It's the realisation that there's immense power in the universe, but it can't be acquired, only received as a gift. Prayer is the moment we tap into that immense power." Maybe that's why God searches out the lowly. They know their need of him. Matthew 5:8 reads, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Or in other words, happy are those who know their need for God, for they will be satisfied. At this time, let's not rush for clarity. Let's acknowledge we don't have the answers. We don't understand. We can't fathom it all. But we are happy to wait on God, to be open, to sit with the unknown. Whether we're on the front lines as a key worker or doing our bit by staying put at home, we need God's strength. There is only so much we can do on our own. I wonder, do we need to wait, to ponder, to deliberately spend time in his presence, that we might recognise our need of him and allow him to renew our strength? When we do, We rest. We wait. We accept that it is God alone who is the source of all strength, who carries all hope and joy, and we can trust in him, for his name is love. Let's pray together. Lord God, Father, Son and Spirit, we wait on you. Neither birth nor death diminished you. Neither power nor pain destroyed you. Neither plenty nor little distracted you. We lay down our busyness, our weakness, our emptiness, our fears, our unknowing. And in the silence we ask to know you and you alone. We ask that you would be the source of our strength and our joy, our hope and our love. In you alone we trust. Amen.